Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today. Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care on this Tuesday morning. And as always, I'm super grateful and excited that you're here with me, and I'm your host, and I'm glad you're choosing to spend some of your time with me. Today, I'm talking to Elaine Dinos, who is the founder of Kindred Lane. That's the name of her company, and she refers to herself as a holistic leadership advisor, and I think we're going to have a really good conversation around just kind of the corporate work routine in general. We're going to talk a little bit about burnout, why we're hearing so much about it these days. And some of the things that she does, and not just in her work, but in her own life, to ensure that her well-being gets prioritized. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Allison. I'm thrilled to be here.
Fantastic. Please, I know you and I were talking before I hit record. Please just give my audience a little bit of insight into who you are and your background and a little bit about the work that you do.
Well, I have to start by saying I'm a mom of three young kids. That is a context, kind of a backdrop for everything else I do. And you'll hear me kind of weave that throughout because it's a big part of my life. But the work that we do at Kindred Lane is essentially we help leaders grow. That's really at the core. And it's about personal growth first and foremost, and then how that shows up in every part of our life and our work. And I can share more about my journey, but the work that I share is also really the guiding principle for my life and how I make sense of it all and try to do all the wonderful things that I want to do and not lose myself in the process. So having a fulfilling life and a full life outside of work, and then also having meaningful work, is really important to me.
Well, but I think you bring up a really good point. I think that, you know, as a society, I think we're so focused on, you know, work. You know, it's almost like, I know I used to be like this too, which is why I feel like I could say this freely, is we wear the "I worked a 12-hour day" on our sleeve as a badge of honor, right? Mm-hmm. Almost like it's a huge accomplishment. And, you know, I just think as a society, we kind of mistake that for being successful and being, you know, to your point, fulfilled and feeling like we're, you know, accomplishing great things. And it's not that we're not accomplishing great things. I just think that at the end of the day, it is a matter of priorities, and it's a matter of how we're choosing to define what our success is.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And this is really one of my favorite things to talk about because it's been just really the journey that I've been on and the journey that so many of our clients are on. It's, you know, if we think about it, there's so much more straightforward metrics for success at work. And when we try to balance those or align those with the other parts of our life and how we really find fulfillment and what success is really what we want it to feel like, not just what society says success is, right? But it's not as straightforward and it's harder to measure. And, you know, it's not as linear. And sometimes we gravitate to the linear, straightforward. If you do this, then you'll get this, because we're moving so fast that it's hard to take in the more complex, less straightforward,
totally,
you know, approaches. And a lot of, I think, what brings us fulfillment in life and in work in the long run,
yeah,
really is more of that nonlinear, kind of organic, side of things.
Yeah. And I just think that there's a lot of need to just push. At least I think that's the way that it used to be. And I think if there was a silver lining that came out of the pandemic, and, you know, honestly, I hear about it a lot, not just from my clients, but in people that I talk to, my guests and people that I, you know, have contact with in my online communities, is that, you know, for a lot of people, the pandemic was a chance to kind of take a look at how they were living and,
you know, the choices they were making. And I also know in that same breath that there are people that did not do well with all that. So I think that it's really kind of brought the issue of burnout, you know, mm-hmm. and fulfillment and, you know, overall well-being, I think, back to the forefront, right? So I guess I'm just wondering, in your professional opinion, before we get into the work you do, why do you think we're seeing such, I don't want to call it an epidemic, but I guess that's probably a dramatic way to refer to it. Why do you think we're seeing such an epidemic of burnout across the board?
Yeah, I mean, we really are seeing an epidemic of burnout. I think we're at the point where that word is fitting. There are recent studies of, you know, 60-70% of executives and leaders are burnt out. And that's just, you know, folks that are responding. What about the people that are too burnt out to respond? But, you know, if we think about just the last 10 years or even, you know, longer, I certainly felt this, before I kind of intentionally made the decision to create space for myself and to step out of the rat race and to, you know, to make sure that I was on the path that I wanted to be on. And this is a lot of what we see with our clients too. But, it's, you know, it's like when you're on the treadmill and you just keep turning the speed up and up and just how fast you can go. And at some point you're either going to fall on your face or, you know, you're going to have to jump and put your feet on the side or pull the plug, right?
This fake idea that if I just work a little harder, I can catch up.
Absolutely.
Or if I just do a little bit more, I'm going to get there. Sometimes it's not about that. You know?
It's not. You know, in my experience, go ahead.
I said it's about how we're being.
It really is. I think that we're finally feeling this pressure point of, you know, I can't actually take anymore. And, you know, we're either going to get to that point and it's going to be on our terms that we say, you know what, I'm going to pull the plug. I'm going to take a breath before I break down. Or something happens outside of our control that kind of forces that pause. And so, you know, we're just seeing that more and more people are saying, you know what, I've achieved great success. You know, when is enough enough? And I can't just keep running faster and faster. I can't work for a company that's going to just squeeze every last drop out of me to be successful. That's not successful in the long term. And, you know, it's really impacting business results too. And so companies are needing to take care of their people and prioritize cultures around that. And a lot of, you know, I did a lot of research with this in my previous firm, but there are countless studies around how it really is good for business too, yeah, when you invest in the whole person and really let people, you know.
Well, I mean, back when I was a student and we were looking at this whole concept of worksite health, which was sort of, I don't want to say new, but it was just a new way of thinking about providing, you know, healthy options for lifestyle behaviors at work. You know, this was back in the 80s and the 90s when companies would have somebody on their payroll that would be responsible for the wellness program, the employee fitness program, the corporate fitness program, whatever you wanted to call it. And so I think now, fast forward, I think, you know, companies do, to your point, recognize, you know, the importance of doing that, not just because we know our employees are happier and more productive, but financially it impacts them too. So in terms of, you know, companies recognizing this, I guess my question is, and let me just, I'm sort of like thinking out loud as I'm talking to you.
Sure.
Here. But when we talk about how companies recognize, not just companies, but the person in general, not the employee, but the whole person, you know, how do you define well-being for somebody? Like, what does that look like?
So I think the context really matters here, right? And this is kind of to the point before about why there's so much burnout, this speed of which things are coming at us, right? Whether it's the global context and, you know, what's happening across the globe from climate or war. You know, there's so much happening at the global scale, a lot of disruption, and then companies needing to be nimble and respond. And so the context that a company operates in really matters, right? The industry, what their pressures are, and really where their authentic voices as an organization. And so, you know, there's not just one playbook for each company or each individual. There are different elements, right? So well-being really could be flexed in more in one direction or another based on the industry and the organization and what's authentic for them to take on. Yeah. Right. And because people are so committed to their work, work is a place of where we find a lot of community and where we find a lot of connection yeah. among people and where we are growing. And so it
also helps give people a sense of purpose too, because they
absolutely
feel it's not just in the accomplishments, but they feel like they're contributing to something hopefully that's bigger than themselves.
Absolutely. And our companies are needing to step up to solve for these global challenges, right? If you're not having an impact in a positive way, then what's the real value you're contributing to society, to the planet? I think we're going to continue to see that requirement being there, right? It's not just compliance, but it's out of a need, right? For the company to be successful.
It's languaging to people. You know, it's not just lip service that you are valued and you're important, but it's, you know, let us show you how important you are to us.
Absolutely. Right. And so it has to be authentic for the company, right? Is the company, so I've done a ton of research around this, and a lot of our solutions connect where an individual leader or a change maker, where your individual purpose aligns with the organization. And it's so important that organizations aren't just, you know, coming up with a purpose statement to have one, but that's almost worse if you're not really committed to it, right? And so the organization's values, the organization's purpose, the impact that that organization is having, the industry, is all context that comes into play for what is authentically a way to support the well-being of your people, right? If you're a fitness company, you better be, you know, internally practicing what you're preaching, right? And that's true with everything, right? And so if you are a company that's focused on people solutions, then how are you looking at the whole person? There might be more emotional and mental well-being support, right? But if you think about across the board for well-being, there's financial, there's emotional, there's mental, there's physical, there's spiritual.
It's like a multifaceted, it's like a one of those diagrams where there's the circle in the middle and you've got all these little prongs coming off the sides, right? It's like
absolutely
thing that's impacting the person.
But you can also tell when a company or a leader steps out in an inauthentic way or an awkward way to try to, you know, provide an answer, because that's the trend. And so it's really important to connect authentically to your own voice as an organization and what the organization is really trying to do and focusing there.
Yeah, no, I get that. So you're you call yourself a leadership advisor, you know, a holistic leadership advisor, which I think that's a really I don't want to call it a colorful, you know, description. Mm. I think it's very like clear that you're more than just let me show you more how to it's not just maximizing your profits and doing your job better, but let's look at the whole person, right? So
absolutely.
Talk a little bit more, just in very specific, simple terms, about, you know, a little bit about the work you do with people and how that impacts how they prioritize themselves.
Sure. So, you know, I say we help leaders grow. Our clients are typically, whether they're, you know, exhausted executives or accomplished leaders. We say leaders and change makers, because you might be an individual out there, an entrepreneur out there, and you're still, you know, working hard and trying to have a fulfilling life and meaningful work at the same time. And so we really work with individuals on something we called work-life abundance. That's about coaching. We have regenerative retreats that we lead from time to time, and programs, but that tends to be more of the one-on-one work with individuals. And then we also work with leadership teams, whether it's the HR leaders that are calling us from big companies, or it's the CEO or executive director of a smaller organization, but it's really about wanting to help your team grow. A lot of the research that Kindred Lane was created from is really this belief that if you invest in your people, if your people are growing in a healthy, sustainable way, then the organization grows. Because if you think about the entity, the organization is really just made up of the people, right? You have your products and things, but it's people's growth.
Your only companies are only as good as their people.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
I view, especially today, that are really standing out. They're standing out because they've built a company culture, for one, that, you know, prioritizes, you know, to your point, a work-life balance, but also an innovative approach to how they serve their clients too. You know, they're not necessarily outdated in that approach, you know, and that contributes to keeping people on board and keeping them excited because they feel like they're part of a movement.
Absolutely. And we really work with clients that are looking for organic approaches to complement some of their structures, right? So sometimes we'll come in as an advisor and take a look at what a team is already doing and help them make it fresh and more vibrant and connected to their values, right? So that's where some of our consulting comes in. But typically we're offering retreats and executive programming or coaching and really supporting that journey of growth. My background came from, you know, most of my career was in a big public company as an executive recruiter and leadership advisor, creating programs that were helping companies, you know, bring their culture and values and purpose to life through the people that lead their company. And I found that, you know, all of the programs that, I found personally meaningful for me and that I saw really be rewarding for a broad range of companies all start with who the person is at their core, right? Yeah. Who and really stepping away from the work context and just you as an individual, how are you growing? What matters to you? What do you find fulfilling? What are your personal values? And this has been true for my own personal experience, which is what Kindred Lane has grown from, in addition to all this research and my professional experience, but it's about the journey that I've been on that is saying, wait a second. Like,
well, a lot of the work that we do is kind of reflective of our journey. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
First coaches said a lot of people that you work with are little mini versions of where you used to be. And so I think as coaches and, you know, and consultants, I think we have to remember that, because, you know, the reason that we're working with the people that we are is that the people that are working with us want what we have. You know, they know that we have shown them that there's a path to get to what they want.
Yeah. It's a great reminder. And yeah, I
remind myself of that sometimes.
Yeah. You know, it's such a journey. And a lot of times I find we're just looking in the wrong places. And so yeah. I love the work that I get to do. And that
I think that's very true. I think in general, people look in the wrong places. I think a lot of what we have, well, not a lot, a great majority of what we need is already within us.
It, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like we could talk for hours about that. And, you know, I am the founder of Kindred Lane, but we have a collaborative of about 50 people that we work with that are, you know, having their own consulting practice here or there, and we team together in offering experiences and programs. And so it's always fresh and changing. And it's really based on, you know, each individual is going to grow and, you know, evolve in their own way. And what's true for you and what's going to ignite that growth in you is very different from what it might be for the next person, right?
Yeah, so. Totally. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the AllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. So let's pivot for just a few minutes before we wrap up. I'd like to hear from you. What does Elaine do to prioritize herself? Like, I mean, obviously you have to practice what you preach, right? So what are some, you know, what are some practices that you do that really work for you?
So practicing what I preach is most important. You know, that's really been a cornerstone for me of coming back to how am I keeping myself honest? If I'm not growing, if I'm not really remaining curious and inviting in the next stage of growth, then I notice it in my organization that we don't grow if I'm not growing. So it's true what we're sharing out there. The biggest theme for me has been about the shift from this achievement to more of an abundance mindset and that permission for self-care. And so really permission for self-care for me constantly shows up as giving myself permission to slow down and take a breath and not just continuing to put more on my plate because I'm interested in doing it all.
And it's also getting away from the crazy thought that, and it is a crazy thought, that, you know, slowing down to prioritize yourself is not selfish. I think, you know, I will argue every day of the week that, you know, by not prioritizing yourself, that's being selfish.
It is. And I could give you the full story if we have time, but I had this realization back. It was the last week of January in 2016. A number of things happened at once that really made this clear to me that I had not been taking care of myself. And I returned to my yoga practice. I did a juice cleanse for the first time. And you asked about practices that I use. Yoga, walks through the woods, and cold pressed juices that really are nourishing. Hot cups of tea when the weather's like it is today. But those are some of my practices, a morning meditation practice. But January 2016, there were a number of things happening professionally and personally. And a lot of what came in to me at this all in the same time was a lot of what we are actually working with our clients and bringing in. But for me personally, it was a time of a deep reminder that I had not been connected to my roots of who I am and why I'm here and my values. And I had not been taking that time for reflection and self-care. And, I had this whole realization that we're actually all essentially like trees, which may sound very out there, But if you think about it, we have to like really be connected to our roots and our values and what we stand for to navigate all of the information and the changes that are happening in the world, right? And how, and what the directions that we can be pulled when you have a demanding job or you have a full life.
Well, it's
right?
Like what my coach always says. It's live in the and. It's not an either or. And I think a lot of people have very, you know, very real stories that they tell themselves. And, you know, what do I mean by that? I just mean it's a belief system or a set of thoughts that they just think regularly. And you think of something long enough, it feels like a fact to you, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like for a lot of people, that is exactly it. It's, well, I can't have this because I'm doing this over here. Yeah. And I can't live like this, even though that's what I really want, because I've got this over here. So what if we flip that on its head and we said, look, you can have both. You can have both, but you're going to have to shift your mindset around it, you know, to your point, and, you know, just realize and have that increased awareness that, you know, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. And I don't know that people mean to do that. I don't know that it's necessarily conscious among a lot of people, but I do think that it's an ingrained habit that, mm-hmm. you know, it just takes time to unwind. And how do you do that? You do that with dialing into simple daily practices like what you just talked about, like the walks in the woods, the morning meditation. It's sometimes it is the simple things that get us results.
I like we were saying that a lot of times we're looking in the wrong place, or that we think there's this linear, if I do this, then I get this, right? And so, yes, it's both end. And we talk a lot about that too. As I mentioned, nature is a big part of the work we do and also my own practices. But we say it's living from your roots, right? This idea of being connected to your purpose and values and then bringing that. Right. Just like trees take all the nutrients through their roots and bring that to their growth and their productivity. Right. But it's also soaking up the sun and the rain and those nourishing practices, those energizing practices. We have a whole exercise around this where we help people, you know, label the different parts of their tree and think about it as this virtuous cycle and really giving people that permission for self-care, that self-care is not a branch on the tree. But it's the sun and the soil and the water that makes the whole tree grow, or whatever plant you want to be.
I love the simplicity of that. I think that's something that anyone listening can use, regardless of where you are in your life or regardless of what decisions you're grappling with or thinking about in the moment. I think labeling the parts of your own tree can be as unique mm-hmm. as you. So I really appreciate you mentioning that, because to your point, we do look in the wrong places and sometimes it is the simple things. What's your best piece of advice to anyone listening, you know, as far as where they begin today? And I say that because, you know, I have a lot of people write to me and reach out to me and say, hey, I really needed to hear that today. And so I really feel like there probably is at least one person listening. In fact, I know there is. And there's probably many listening that are thinking, this sounds really good, but I really just don't even know where to begin. What would you tell that person?
You know, when you feel like you can't slow down because there's just way too much to keep up with, that's when you need to slow down and just take a breath. And that means inhale and exhale and maybe take a few more and create some space. You know, if you're on a surfboard, I use a lot of different analogies, but if you're on a surfboard, and you just have to stay on that wave because you're afraid it's going to crash. But if the wave crashes and then you just let it settle, you can actually find that calm again. And if you don't give yourself the space to slow down, then you're just going to be running faster and faster, right? Until you're forced to slow down. So give yourself that space, take a deep breath and connect to what you really might be ignoring, those whispers inside that might be trying to get your attention, right? We have a number of different questions we ask.
Yeah. Right. I feel like to your point, it's those moments that we resist, that we want to dig our heels in and say, no, it's not the right time. No, I don't want to do that. No, I really can't do that. And here's why. It's those are the moments that I think we have to stop ourselves, to your point, and say, all right, let me just take a breath here. Because sometimes that is really what it takes to just start to build an awareness that I may not know what the right thing is to do in this moment, and there may not be a right thing. But the point is that I am slowly creating more awareness in myself that I can do something different.
Absolutely. A lot of times say that resistance is what causes discomfort. And if we can just embrace where we are, right? Like if you're sitting in traffic, or if you are frustrated in your career or whatever it is, right? You're not feeling good in your body the way you want to be and as energized, right? Like no matter what it is, wherever that discomfort is, it generally comes because we're wanting to be somewhere different than where we are. And it starts with just that acceptance of where we are and taking a deep breath. And it doesn't have to be so hard, right? We don't have to just push harder and faster to get to where we want. Sometimes we can just take a deep breath and let the flow take us there. And when we actually let go of control and listen to where we're being pulled, it can end up being so much greater than
the thought. Things just don't become hard. They become hard because we decide that they're hard, right? Mm-hmm. We assign value to that. And we decide that it's hard. It's like, you know, again, like one of the things that my coach always says is, she says, what would you think if there were no problem? You know, we decide mm-hmm. when there are problems, right? And we get, you know, upset or worked up or, well, I can't do that. That's not possible. Whatever, you know, whatever it is we tell ourselves. But what would you think if there were no problem? You know, mm-hmm. and so sometimes it's, all right, let's decide that this isn't a problem. And let's think, what would we do if there wasn't a problem? You know, sometimes I think that helps us create that space that you're talking about.
I love that. Yeah, it's a conscious decision to focus on what you're grateful for or what you have, right? And I think we are trained to think about what's next and be prepared. What's coming? What's the next step? What are we working towards? And so many times we miss just the yeah. abundance that's right there.
Right, right. Where can people connect with you, Elaine?
Our website is the best place, kindredlane.com, like kind red lane, LANE. So kindredlane.com. And they can reach out and there's a spot to just connect and have an initial conversation. Okay. That's probably the best place. So we have a number of programs happening, but we're also happy to just connect and hear what's going on with people and see how we can help.
Okay. I love that. Thank you so much for making time to talk to me today. I love the work that you're doing. And I think, you know, kind of pushing back on the same narrative that, you know, the corporate lifestyle or, you know, the lifestyle that we're choosing to live around our work and our life, you know, especially if it's not serving us, really doesn't have to always be the norm, right?
Absolutely. And when you feel like it's just too much to keep up with, just go for a walk in the woods and get some fresh air and see what emerges.
Something so simple can give us so much benefit, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Allison. It's been such a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, and I feel
absolutely. Like we could talk My for pleasure. Hours.
Yeah, totally. We'll have to have you back for a future episode. So folks out there listening, if what we've talked about today, if what I've talked about with Elaine has really resonated with you and been helpful to you, whether it's helping you create that space or, you know, begin to build that awareness around just kind of how you're looking at how you're prioritizing things, whether it be work life, other responsibilities, and of course yourself, then please feel free to connect with her. You can find her website in the show notes, kindredlane.com. And you could directly connect with her there, you know, contact whatever on her site. And if really on that note, if this conversation has been helpful for you and you'd like to share it with a friend or a colleague, please just copy the link and send it to them as a free gift from me. Or if you like, you're welcome to reach out to me. You can connect with me on my site, www.theallisonk.com, and we will do it for you. Either I'll do it for you or someone on my team will. This is how we began a movement. This is how we've created a movement on our end and why our shows are consistently ranked high. It's because we have such an amazing audience in you. And It's always my goal to make sure every single week that we're giving you not just the very best of helpful advice and tips and actionable things that you can do in your own daily life, but that you're actually hearing from people in the field that are doing this work and that have a different perspective to share. Because sometimes we can know that what we're doing is not the best thing for us, but we can still like not exactly know where to begin. And this is why hearing other people's stories and hearing the work that they're doing can sometimes be that catalyst that starts that change for you. So please know how grateful I am for each and every one of you. If you're feeling so inclined and you'd like to leave us a review, we always welcome those. You can do that on any major podcast platform. And if you like, you can screenshot your review and send it to me, and we will send you a small gift as a token of our appreciation. Because I know your time is very valuable, and I appreciate every single one of you. So this is Allison Katzkowski with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You're one step closer to living your ultimate life, so make it a good one.